This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Great to be speaking with Vanessa Amorosi today. Hello.
Hello.
Now, first up, Vanessa, tell us the age-old debate, well, around this station anyway, is it Amorosi or Amorosi? I go with Amorosi.
It's Amorosi.
Oh, you do say Rosie.
Yeah. I'm so used to both ways and it's fine.
So it's a bit tomato-tomato.
Yeah. Doesn't worry me at all.
Well, can I say a big congratulations to you for your single, This Is Who I Am, debuting number one. I mean, it must feel so good having it not only go number one, but in its first week.
Oh, I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm so rapt that people have latched onto the song and that it's worked. And, you know, it's such an amazing experience. This is my first number one, so.
Wow.
And you're very, very excited about it.
But do you think this song had such success because people love a song that's so raw, open and honest?
Yeah, but going into it, I was really nervous about it. Like, I really didn't think that it was something you should say in pop music. Like, a lot of people want to believe that, I suppose, you know, entertainers have this unrealistic reality and everything's glorious, but this song was really like, you know, saying that I spent years at battle with who I was personally and my outside appearance to what I did with music. And it was a big statement for me to come out and say. So I was really nervous that it might have done the opposite thing.
How do you think you've now got to that point of kind of self-acceptance?
I really had no idea. I think it just happened, and it happened suddenly too. I just woke up and I was fine with the things that made me different and the individuality that I used to, you know, abandon and try and pretend it wasn't me at all. I've more or less embraced.
And actually, I've got to admit that myself and one of the production guys here at work were having a bit of a discussion
and,
on how you produce the noise in your song this one.
I really don't know what
Now, we've got a theory, and I'll run this by you. We reckon that it's a long note with the pitch going down. You've cut it up abruptly and then distorted it and then put a pitch bender on it. Are we close?
Is that the...
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
But that would be like the technical way of cutting, editing and pitching down. And, I mean, you could do all of that sort of stuff.
Right.
It's just me mimicking a Match 5 out of Pro Tools. There's an actual effect, like a synth sort of effect that does that sort of noise. And that's what I was doing. And so what they did was, instead of replacing it, they left me doing it with a bit of reverb and compressor, I think. Hard, really. But no, it's not cut and edit. It's just me being me.
Wow, that's so cool. And we were so off the pace. I love that.
Well, I think if you were going to make that effect off a long note, it's definitely possible. It's doable. But I think you can sort of hear that it's still human-like. It's not robotic.
Enough. Yeah, very true. Now, I've heard that your biggest fans, and no surprise, are Aussies, but also Germans. Is this true?
Yeah, I had a lot of success in Europe back when I was a kid. I think I spent about 2 years there touring and doing shows, and yeah, it was a crazy, crazy time.
Are German fans a little bit different to Australian fans?
Yeah, in the sense that they are huge into rock music. I think when I stepped out there as a kid, I heard more heavy metal bands than I did anything else.
Wow.
So I was really shocked because back at home I was a big fan of like Primus and Tool and things like that, and then I get to, you know, get to Europe and there's just massive, massive rock bands.
But don't you think that's unusual then, that they've liked your music so much? Because, I mean, your earlier music didn't really fit that kind of heavy rock mould.
My earlier stuff, no, not at all. But because I was doing so many rock shows at that point and I was mixing in pop music and then doing Janis Joplin numbers and AC/DC, I've always been a rockhead. It's just that when I actually released as a kid, it wasn't believable because I was this short, shy 16-year-old girl that wanted to sing rock. And I was in rock bands, but I started writing pop music and that was more believable. So at that point, I became a pop artist.
I tell you what, just the other day, it was, I have to say, a great moment. A friend of myself, we were singing the song that you sang in the Olympics, Heroes Live Forever, and I still love it to this day. You know, that's nearly 10 years ago. Do you still look back and go, wow, what a moment? Or do you kind of cringe because you're like, man, I was so young?
It doesn't even feel like me. I mean, I haven't watched the footage in a long time, but the last time that I did even hear the track, it just feels like another person.
Really?
Like all of that past stuff, yeah. And, I mean, occasionally when I sing those songs live in shows and stuff, it just brings up sort of childhood memories of, where I was when I first started recording it or came up with the idea or what was happening at the time. But, yeah, when I look back at the old footage, I just consider it another person. It's so strange.
Oh, I loved it, though. We'll live on.
Yeah, it's like I was thinking to myself, like, what was I going through at that very point? And the only thing I can really remember was the fact I was wearing pink. And, you know, I was this rock kid at school. So pink, I was never caught in pink ever. Mm. So I was wearing pink and first time wearing high heels.
Wow.
That's the thing I took out of the Olympics, which is so crazy. And that just shows how young and stupid I was. But really, I was like, high heels and a pink suit, I can't do it.
But wait, were you up really high? I remember that vaguely. Were you?
Yeah, the closing ceremony, I was up in this. See, that's another funny story, because I remember saying to David Atkins, who was running it, as a kid going, you know, I want to be like Nikki Webster. I want to fly. And she's got the greatest job ever. She's up in the air. And I go, I'd love to set off pyros. That'd be the best. So he was like, all right, leave it with me. And then the next time I came to the rehearsals, I was putting this cage miles in the air.
Oh.
And I had to set off pyros. I swear, I was so excited. It was like the best thing that ever happened to me.
Wow. I would have been screaming the whole time.
Oh, it was so much fun. And I just remember as a kid, you know, the thrill of it all. It was like, get in there, quick, get that harness on. It was like everything had to be done like in 0 seconds.
And did you?
They slingshot you up in the air before the song starts.
Did you sing that live, though? Because you were pretty switched on.
The second closing, it's like half live and half off, because the problem is that once you hit so far above the stadium,
right,
your in-ear ear systems and everything cut out.
Really?
Your cordless mic cuts out. Yeah, the frequency doesn't reach up there. So it's a lot of miming and then jumping into sync. And I had a little bit of difficulty with the closing ceremony because I just kept coming in and out of the actual track.
Wow.
So even syncing up live is really difficult. But I think that whole closing ceremony was all mine.
Wow.
Because of that, it's such a big place to have microphones travelling that far across and having inner ear systems working. It's difficult.
Mm, for sure. I mean, it's been 10, 11 years since you first came onto the scene. You know, how do you think you've developed as an artist from, you know, your first release to now your fourth album?
I don't know. I think just with age, you know, my vocals become higher and lower, and I have more topics to talk about because I've experienced life more. And I think now, being at the age I am, I look at life and in a funny way. I think everything's quite hilarious rather than as a kid everything was so serious and the end of the world. So I think that's what's really changed me as an artist. I'm a lot more laid back and able to express myself without worrying about it.
I loved how Wikipedia actually went into detail about your vocal range and how, you know, you're a soprano C6, is it? That's how high you can go? How high is that note? Is it high?
It's pretty high.
And something about being able to do the whistle thing as well?
Yeah. I mean, I really don't know the technical terms of most of it, but whatever I can think, I can sing. So that's the only gift that God gave me. So I'm
Vanessa,
happy that.
Just for my own sheer
intelligence,
trivia mind, I don't know how to word that. I remember you being on the panel, a judge
sing.
On a panel of a show, and I cannot remember the show for the life of me. What was that show?
Starstruck.
Channel 9.
I'm pretty sure it was, yeah. Something to do with stars.
Did you enjoy that experience?
It was fun because it was such a... I was going through a really hard, tough time back then, and it was the only way I could get back out and be a part of music.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was, for me, such a relief to be able to get the opportunity to make music again and be among musicians and be among music, because I was so in one of the worst places for me.
Mm.
So back then, yeah, it was wonderful.
I just remember them dressing up people and then they're like the big reveal. Now they look like Elvis. Well, not really.
Oh, it was pretty funny. And it was, yeah, I'm very technical. So I got told off many times for being way too technical.
Oh, really?
They're like, can you please dumb it down? The people at home don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm like, all right, okay, well, you know, anyway.
Vanessa, if you were going to perform on Starstruck, what character would you want to dress up as? You know, you mentioned Janis Joplin before. Would you do a bit of Janis Joplin?
I did.
Oh, you did it? Why? Wow.
Yeah, I did. I did it, I think, at the very end, the closing ceremony, they let me
get
on the stage and pretend to be Janis Joplin.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Of course, you've got the new album out, Hazardous. It's in stores now. What are you hoping that your fans are going to get out of this new album?
I hope, a better insight of who I am as a person, and I think a laugh. You know, I really wanted this album to take people on a journey, and I want it to be fun. I want it, people to turn it on and feel good about listening to music rather than being taken down. Or, you know, it's a really different album to what people would expect from me. It's very out there and quite crazy. I just hope it becomes a part of people's life, like, you know, it is a part of mine at the moment.
Your full name?
Vanessa Joylene Amorosi.
Dream instrument?
Drums.
Which song do you wish you wrote?
Imagine, John Lennon.
What movie can you quote the most from?
Bad Santa or Dawn of the Dead.
What's your favourite board game?
I don't play board games. They're too smart. I get bored way too quick with board games because I have to sit still.
Yeah.
None.
Pets?
Too many.
You do have too many because you have a farm, don't you?
Yeah, way too many.
What's your signature dish?
Canned food.
Favourite pizza topping?
Cheese.
Oh, I love cheese too. But for
cheese works with everything, even with canned food.
Oh, really? Favourite TV show?
That's a difficult one. Don't know.
What time do you usually go to bed?
I'm all over the shop. If I've got a night off, I'll go to bed as soon as I finish, which will be 6 o'clock.
Wow.
But if I don't have a night off, I go to bed usually 3 in the morning.
Wow. That's a bit of a contrast.
All over the place.
And final question. Seeing that you are a vegetarian, what's your favourite vegetarian meal?
Cheese.
Just a platter of cheese?
I don't even know if that's vegetarian.
Well, you'd be a lacto over vegetarian then.
Yeah, maybe I'll go potatoes. Potato gems. Oh, my goodness. I love potato gems.
What about potatoes and cheese?
Oh, even better.
Cheesy sauce. Very good. What did make you become a vegetarian? Because I used to be a vegetarian for 8 years, so I understand.
Well, I don't really like the taste of meat.
Okay.
Especially not red meat. But just because I have a lot of animals that have come from knackeries and things like that.
Mm.
So I always think of them on my plate and then I just can't seem to do it.
Yeah, it would turn you off your food. I can understand that.
It does a bit. I do it to my little brother as well. I go, look at Barbie. Look at Mum's lamb. You really want to eat that?
And he's like, oh, thanks. Thanks.
Kills it every time.
Very good. Vanessa Amorosi, thank you so much for catching up with us today. All the best with the new album and congratulations again for your number one single.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.